in the Word, and as usual, we have a title for our teaching, and we're calling our teaching today The Christian Liberty. The Christian Liberty. And I'm basing this from the verse in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 1, which I'm sure you all know very well. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, which says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Stand fast in the liberty, and do not be entangled with a yoke of bondage. That is what we're going to discuss this evening, praise God. And we'll ask the Father's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our assembling together in your presence. Anoint this word to our hearts, to our ears. We ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, we need just to briefly remind ourselves about the book of Galatians, that the Apostle Paul is addressing a problem, a very serious problem, that is beginning to grow, or was growing in this church, because they had received the gospel by faith, grace and mercy, believing by faith and not in simply works, but they're falling into that trap that certain works of the law are also required and necessary. And of course, in this case, he's addressing that circumcision was advisable. It is a good thing. It still keeps us Jewish. And so on. You can just imagine how subtle it was trying to convince them, and so on. And of course, those demons that work attacking the Word of God, the grace and mercy of God, the faith that we walk by, they are still the same and still attack in the ways that they do. And that is why I'm calling our teaching today, The Christian Liberty. You see, we don't practice circumcision today because we know that the circumcision under the new covenant for those who walk by faith is a circumcision of the heart. And we certainly know this at times, as God is working and changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And there are times that we know there is that incision, that cutting. And that is to remind us, as circumcision was under the old covenant, that you were separated unto Yahweh. So that circumcision, when God works it at times or through the trials and tests, is a reminder that we are separated, we are sanctified unto the Lord. And God is not going to have us living and acting like the world does and doing what the world does. And this is very subtle, how the enemy works, how he tries to draw us away from this Christian liberty that we have graciously been given, which I'm going to talk about later on. But I'm talking about this circumcision of the heart. It is our spiritual separation unto holiness, unto God. That is the requirement, that is discipleship, that is what the Holy Spirit requires. And there are times when we fight against this, but God is not going to let us off the hook. So, there is then this liberty. And this liberty that we're going to look at this evening is obviously given to us through Jesus Christ. Now, a mature believer will never come to you demanding you to believe in this doctrine. A mature believer will not do that, even though we teach and preach the deeper life of the Spirit, we teach a total faith message, yet we do not come demanding that this is the doctrine, you believe it, this is how you are to walk. Or you do this, or you do that. And sadly, in our earlier days when we were much younger and babes, we were very zealous and at times we were doing that. But that is not the Christian liberty. It's not what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. You see, a mature believer will always point you to Jesus. Not only pointing you to Jesus, but to Jesus' standard. And God has opened our eyes to that standard. Or he's opening our eyes to that standard. We always point to the person, to God, not to some doctrine. And that is the standard, that is the Christian liberty. You see, we're not asked to believe the Bible. The Bible opens up, doesn't it, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. God doesn't try to explain himself or who he is in that sense. He says, I'm God, here I am, there's nobody else. You either choose to believe or you don't. You see, we ask one to believe the Bible to whom it reveals. And who does the Bible reveal? Well, you know this, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is the one that we encourage people to believe in. We know this because John 5:39 tells us. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. And he goes on, I have come from my Father, and so on. And those that receive the Father receive me. So he's appealing to himself. He's exhorting himself. Because by doing that, you see the Father. So this is what it is. We're not asking people to simply believe the Bible, but to whom the one it reveals. And this is where evangelism and people go so wrong so many times. He goes on in verse 43, I have come to my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And people are receiving so much today through the so-called preaching and teaching of the gospel, they receive more of their denomination, more of the minister, more of what it represents or anything. They're not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into a personal relationship with him. How subtle the devil is, trying to keep so many out of the kingdom of God. How can you believe who receive honour from one another and do not seek the honour that comes from the only God. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? My goodness me, what Jesus is saying here, and how we see that so much today in bondage, in denominationalism. It is absolutely tragic. So, we're still looking at this Christian liberty. We'll start to look at this verse back in Galatians 5 and verse 1. It starts off with the word stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So this word to stand means to persevere. It means to persist. It also means that you are stationary. You're not moving around, going from one place to the other. That's what it means to stand upon the revelation that you have received. And God never got it wrong with what he gave us at the beginning. That is why I stand on this, as we are told to do, because if we don't stand, then we will start to embrace other things, other teachings, other doctrines, and before you know where you are, you're bound under the law. Now, this idea to stand, let's just look at a few verses to get this understanding of this word. For example, in Mark 11 and verse 25, and it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So here again is this same word, to stand. It means that you are reliable, you are persevering, you are standing in prayer. And it gives the conditions of prayer, because if you may be standing, but if you're holding grudges against somebody else, your prayers are not going to be heard. So there we get this idea to stand, to persevere. Let's also look in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So, sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse, forgive me. 16 verse 13, sorry. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So here we are, this same word again means to watch, stand fast, in what? The faith that's giving you the Christian liberty. Don't be entangled in works under the law. We stand by faith and faith alone. And as you stand and endure, whatever the demands of faith is required will come as a result of that standing. We're told, aren't we, to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. To be doers of the word means you've got to stand in faith. And in time, as God works in and through us, you will be acting your faith. This is why I say you don't look to try and act your faith. to act your faith means stand, endure, stay with it, and in time, the actions will come that will glorify God with regard to your faith. It's quite simple, but we can make it very complicated, can't we? So there is the same word. Let's also look at Romans 14 and verse 4. Romans 14 and verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So there we are, brothers and sisters, to be able to stand, to endure, God makes that happen. And it happens because you choose to believe, whatever the circumstances. It might appear as though you're not standing, you're falling. Everything is caving around you, but you stand on these promises that God will enable me to stand, whatever the situation. That is the Christian liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ. So we know that Jesus has made us free, for if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. And so, therefore, we're able to stand in his strength and in his might. Isn't that wonderful? That I stand in his power, his strength. How can we go wrong? Why is it we still listen so much to the enemy and his lies? Well, let's carry on. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. And here we have an interesting word, liberty. Before we look into this, let's of course look at something very familiar and encouraging to remind ourselves in Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." And that is the standard and principle that every minister has to walk by, that God has granted that anointing to preach the good news to the poor. The poor means the wretched, those that are broken in heart, those that are open to God for change. They know what they've been brought out from. That's what it means. And it goes on, here it is. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." In other words, I've come, I'm going to deal with the law once and for all that binds you up. You can't overcome, you cannot meet the standard of the law, but I can. So that you stand in this liberty that I will give you. I don't think we appreciate this enough, brothers and sisters, what the Lord has done for us under this new covenant that we have with him. Now, this word liberty is interesting because it actually means to do as one pleases. The idea of liberty here that is spoken by the Apostle Paul to the Galatians means to do as one pleases, deciding to or not. You decide. That's what this word means. Now, if we are in Christ and we are a new creation, we have a new nature, then we choose to live our liberty, not pleasing ourselves. We choose to do that. Remember, I said this word liberty is to do as one pleases. But we have been so worked on in our hearts that we, in our liberty, our freedom, we choose to please the Lord and not ourselves. And even God has to work that in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. For example, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all chose to come tonight in this room. We are free to do so. We are free to be here, or we are free to go away or do something else. That is the liberty that has been given to us as believers. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And that is why only true unity of the Spirit can come out of a love of serving one another. Otherwise, it's the flesh. The flesh will always get in the way of unity and fellowship. When I say the flesh, I mean our wills. We choose to do other things instead of being together in fellowship, in unity and oneness. But we're at liberty to choose what we want to do. We also see this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So much was made and understood about the Christian liberty that had been given to the believers, the early church, through Jesus Christ, that they were no longer slaves to the law, yet they saw a higher law, the law of love, the love of God. And if you love God, you love Jesus, and you see Jesus in the Word of God that you read, then that love will triumph and conquer. And in actual fact, that love is true liberty. Christ was completely free to do what he did in going to Calvary. He chose to do it, for that is what pleased the Father, because they love one another. And God is working this within our hearts and our lives. This is what makes up our true fellowship, our unity and oneness in the body. And so Jesus has made us free, so that we're able to stand in his strength and his might. So we've been unshackled, if you like. We have this liberty, this freedom, and we choose to follow Jesus, and as a result of that, he strengthens us to be able to stand in his strength and might. Isn't that wonderful? So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. That is what it's all about. But you know, there is a false liberty, And that false liberty is where people are trying to earn their salvation. They're under bondage in some way or form. You see, when we struggle to free ourselves, we become more entangled with the yoke of bondage. If you're trying to liberate yourself, if you're trying to set yourself free, you are going to get more and more in bondage, a yoke of bondage, which is what the apostle speaks about. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't start circumcising. Don't bring yourself under the law. If you bring yourself under the law, then you have to be under the whole law. And nobody can keep that. Because that is what it means. If you place yourself in one bit of any of the law, then you've got to place yourself under the whole complete Mosaic law. And nobody can do that. Nobody could ever meet those conditions. So that is what he's implying here. Don't therefore put yourself under a yoke of bondage. Now, a yoke of bondage, this is related to slavery. This is what he means here when he's speaking of bondage. He's speaking about those who are slaves, who have a master, who are held. That is what he means by this. But of course, we make ourselves willingly slaves for Christ. That's part of discipleship. We choose to follow him. We choose to place our hands on the plow and look forward and not look back. We choose to that denial of the self-life. In other words, the giving up of the self-life, placing it on the cross, our cross that we daily take up and follow the Lord. We choose to do that. That is our Christian liberty. We can reject that. It's still liberty. You still are free to choose, but we choose discipleship, which we know, of course, is part of the deeper life, what we have been preaching. And you see, if you place yourself under this slavery, under this yoke of bondage, then in time, the walk starts to become a burden. And many have left us. Many have left us in FGA because the walk started to become a burden. I am not free to do what I want to do. They have not really embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not willing to become slaves, to become servants, to serve. So the burdens start to come. And you know often what is the cause of that? Well, you've guessed it. It's pride, that independent spirit. And that's what happens. And so in many ways, they're trying to embrace parts of the law, bringing themselves under the law, under bondage. And then, of course, they become more confused and so on. I know as a pastor, I've had to deal with this many, 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 many times over the years. But you see, there are many who want to walk with Jesus. And there are also those who want to walk with Jesus, and they also want to have the law as well. And the two now are fire and water. They do not mix. You see, they want Jesus, they want a relationship with God, but they also want the law. They want their systems. They want their denominations. They want their creeds, their doctrines. They want to keep the Sabbath. I could just go on and on and on with this. And what is happening? They're under slavery. They are under a yoke of bondage. And sometimes it takes quite a while for people to get free from this. This is why I'm always keep saying, keep coming, keep listening, keep coming. And if there's areas of these burdens in your life, you'll get delivered. Because the whole teaching that we've received over all these years in nature is deliverance. It's changing us. It's liberating us so that we can choose the right way that pleases God. Demons, the nature of demons, are to hinder your liberty, your freedom. That's what they're all constantly attacking all the time. They're trying to hinder your liberty that you have in Christ, keeping you under bondage, under a burden. Is this walk a burden to you? You're just coming into the room out of duty? Then you have to seek God. Because that is a yoke of bondage. It should be a joy and a privilege through the liberty that Christ has given to us to be able to share and come into fellowship like this. And when we meet together and so on. You see, our liberty comes when Jesus is in absolute control of your life and my life. I mean absolute control. And he's not always, is he? And that's where we have to be honest. That is where we have to bow the knee and just be open that that's not always what happens. You see, the measure of your life is always to his standard. That is what it means to stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free. It means that the measure of your life is always to his standard, not to a pastor or a teacher or a minister, but to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, and that can only be achieved when the Holy Spirit brings us under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not get this in denominationalism. Their standard is their church, their doctrine. But when you are brought under the banner of Jesus Christ and the covering of the blood of the Lamb, that then becomes your standard. That is the true Christian liberty. Now, a warning in all of this to all of us. Don't place a yoke on others that's not his standard. Don't do that. There have been times that we place these burdens, these demands on brothers or sisters that's not his standard. God isn't even in it. And yet we think he is. We think that we have the right and authority to sort out some brother or sister's Christian walk and liberty in Christ. No, no, no. We mustn't think that everyone else must do as I do, because that's not liberty. Each of us are on a journey, are on a walk. There may be some things that God doesn't permit for you but may allow for somebody else for a season, because he's working with them, he's bringing them to that place. He's already dealt with you in that area. So therefore, we don't put that yoke of bondage upon them that they should be doing this because I do it. If we see that there are problems, we know what to do. We get in prayer and intercession that as God worked with you, with me, so he'll also work with them, bringing them to that place of maturity. You see, the only time liberty is seeing that Jesus is working this in others. And that's why we don't change the truth, the word of God, in order to get people to try and do this or try and do that. Oh, I've heard teachings way back in the past, bringing out faults in people, using the word of God to try and get you to change. That is not Christian liberty. That is bondage. The anointing has never been given for the word of God to do that. The standard in the word of God is always presenting Jesus, his standard, and then God will do the rest through the Holy Spirit. That's why he'll bless it, he'll anoint it. And that's why we go and we make disciples. We don't make converts to our own thoughts and our opinions. We go and make disciples, representing, showing them Jesus. Because he's the only one that can change their hearts. We cannot do that. And yet it's so easy to bring out our own opinions, our own thoughts, our own denomination, our own church. We do it this way and not that way and so forth. No, that is not how you make disciples. Disciples are made through the Christian liberty, revealing Jesus Christ, his standard. Now, unless his standard is working in you and I, we're not going to make disciples. We'll make converts or something, but we won't make them to Jesus Christ. Sadly, we do see where a lot of evangelism goes wrong and is going wrong. But you know, as I bring this to a close, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do this work in us, then out of our lives, out of the church, there is only one he's going to raise up. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our lives, our walk, our confession appeal to him and him alone. If what I say or do does not meet the standard of Jesus Christ, then it's going to avail nothing. Let that always be your goal, your aim. Let that be your prayers, your believing, that God will so reveal himself in and through your life, your actions, what you say, what you do. I only live to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. That is all I live for. Now God has to get that truly from our heads to our hearts. Because that is the deeper life. That is how the sons of God in these last days will walk. That is how the church will reveal its true light to this dying world. That we live only for the glory of God. Well, there we are, the Christian liberty. Let it be now a circumcision of the heart, not of the flesh, for the flesh profits nothing, as we're told. And remember that this liberty that we have has been given to us through Jesus Christ for the purpose to mature us and to raise us up as sons and daughters of God in these last days. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, again, you have delivered us through your word tonight. You are setting us free, Father. Forgive us, Lord, that we at times still take on a yoke of bondage. Lord, unfetter us. Help us, Lord. Help us to live the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our whole life, everything we say, we do, our actions, is because of him and through him and in him. It's not our lives anymore. Because you have purchased us with a great price. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We are your possession, your peculiar treasure, as the word of God says. Lord, work it within us that we live for your glory and your glory alone. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. Well, you know, when God opens the Word of God to us and teaches us, there's one thing you can always believe and be assured of, that the very fact that he has touched on this subject means that my life is going to change in accordance to this. Isn't that wonderful? We cannot go wrong in any of this. Because if the Son shall set you free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah.
To do thy will, O Lord, I delight to do thy will, and to walk with thee is not grievous unto me. To do thy will, I delight to do thy will, O Lord, I delight to do thy will, and to walk with not grievous unto me, for I delight to do